Doing Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 8th chapter, text number 47. The chapter is entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form. I will read out single words and then the whole shloka.
Kayanti atyapi kavayo
Tivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudev and Devaki. Please repeat after me. How had Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj become so fortunate that they enjoyed the complete childhood pastimes of Krishna, which are still glorified by saintly persons? What had they done in the past by which they were elevated to such an exalted position? Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So, this is a wonderful shloka from the 10th canto, 8th chapter, text number 48. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully. Therefore, their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki. So I had the great fortune of hearing some of Prabhupada's explanations also. And I took the liberty of going through several other acharyas' views on this particular chapter and this particular shloka. And some of our great Vaishnava acharyas have spent years and years writing about this wonderful subject. Now, why is that? The answer is that we have got entrapped, just like a rat gets entrapped in a rat trap, in a box. So we've got trapped in this body. The Jivatma is inside this body. The body is full of what? Bones, blood, mucus, various other muscles, etc., etc. So if you open the body without the skin, it looks horrible. But the skin makes it look nice. So therefore, a young boy falls in love with a young girl, as Prabhupada says, and a young girl falls in love with a young boy. But it's all skin thick. Not much, or skin deep, as they say in English. But actual true love, or prema, because English has only one word, but our Sanskrit has two wonderful words. One is prema, and the other is pyara, or in Hindi we say pyara, like a movie. So the word movie is also very good because it keeps moving. So the point here is that our true love is with Krishna. And once we develop this pure true love of Krishna, then only we can go home back to Godhead. That's the basic point. So the chavi, key, is to develop pure love of God. Now how do we do that? That only the acharyas have taught us. Nobody else. Believe me, I have been a Mayavadi for a long time before. And Mayavadis go up to the Brahman stage. They teach us how to go up to Brahman. But as Srimad Bhagavatam says, beyond Brahman there is Paramatma. And beyond Paramatma there is Bhagavan. And this Bhagavan is who? Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadi Radir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. So I would like to take the liberty today to tell you about four great Vaishnava Acharyas from whom I have extracted, like, you know, the juice or the concentrate, because we don't have that much time. Particularly, Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, then Garga Maharaj, who is also a disciple of Narad Muni, his Garga Samhita, and from the original Acharya who wrote the first Tika or the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Sridhar Maharaj. Of course, our Prabhupada himself, who is a Saktavesh Avatar. Prabhupada's glory cannot be spoken in a few words, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked that you say that the glories of the holy name will be chanted all over the world. Now remember, this is 15 or 20 years ago. Now, 500 years ago, to even go from one town to another town, there were no railways, there were no buses, there were no cars. They had to walk, or they had to go by boat, or by bullock cart or something like that. But how all over the world your holy name will be chanted? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered, I am sending, Bengali said, Mora Senapati. I am going to send my commander-in-chief of the Sankirtan army. So nobody understood at that time, who is this Senapati? Fortunately, with Krishna's mercy, I have seen this Senapati myself, Prabhupada himself, and believe me, he was a Senapati. He was a tough character. Senapatis have to be like that. No impediment, no difficulty was too high for him. And he had one great quality which everybody had remarked, whoever met him. If you ever, by mistake or by design or by any means, saw into his eyes, it was like X-ray vision. He could see through and through to your soul straight away. He didn't bother with the skin. He didn't bother with the outer covering. He spoke directly to your soul, believe me. And that would awaken something which normally would be dormant. So these acharyas are such that they awaken us. Because we are in Ajnan, we are born as a child. This is the first thing that Prabhupada taught us, at least me. I was arguing with him as a Mayavadi. But this is a very basic point, and one must know this very thoroughly. He said that when you were born, you were in full of ignorance. You didn't know even how to do your daily routine of going to the toilet or whatever. Isn't it? You didn't know how to dress up or do anything. You had no knowledge of who is your father, who is your mother even. But Krishna is not like that. This is the main issue. Krishna, even as a child, is full Krishna. He is full of the six opulences in total, eternally, and in such a large quantity that it is called infinite. Even as a baby Krishna, he had the same strength. Krishna as a baby had the same strength as he had what you see in this Bhagavad Gita picture when he's about 125 years old in Kurukshetra. And that is how he could kill all these wonderful playthings, as Kansa used to send his colleagues, asuras. For Krishna, it was just like playing. He used to play with them because he knew how to fight. And he had the strength as a baby as much as of an old full man. That is the first thing that Prabhupada told us. That don't take Krishna cheaply. Don't think Krishna is the same as you. Qualitatively, yes, but not quantitatively. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the tenth canto is called the Mukharvind of Krishna. You know, in Uddhava Gita, there are two very important Gitas. Everybody knows Bhagavad Gita as it is. That is what Krishna is teaching Arjuna, correct? In Kurukshetra. But thereafter, there is another very important Gita, which is called the Uddhava Gita. So there, Krishna is teaching Uddhava, because Uddhava is feeling very despondent. And he is feeling, Krishna, you are going to leave us now. I cannot survive anymore. I want to go with you. So Krishna says, no, no, you have to continue here. He says, without you, I cannot continue. Then Krishna says, I am leaving behind Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different than me. So acharyas have tried to understand and explain to us that the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are the two lotus feet of Krishna. The two lotus feet of Krishna. That is the starting point of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first two chapters. Then you go higher up, the third chapter, you go to his upper portion at the hip area. Third, then fourth, you go towards his stomach area. Fifth, you go still further towards the lower chest. Sixth, up to the chest. Seventh, you go on the upper chest. Eighth and ninth, you are going at the lower and upper neck. Tenth is his face of Lord Krishna. Now, even in the tenth face, there are different parts of the face. And I will explain to you today from the background of what the acharyas have taught, each part of his face, how important it is. Firstly, you all know the shloka 4.9 of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody here who doesn't know? Janma karma cha me devyam evam yo vityatatvata taktva deham punarjanma neti mameti. So Arjuna, if you understand this, janma karma cha me devyam, means Krishna is saying to Arjuna, once you understand my divine karma and my divine appearance, once you understand these two, then you don't ever take birth again in the material world. You eternally come back to me, home back to Godhead. But he has not explained in Bhagavad Gita his divine appearance, divine birth. He has not explained. That is explained in the 10th canto. He has not explained his divine activities in Bhagavad Gita or anywhere else. It is explained in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why the 10th canto Prabhupada wrote very early, when he thought he may not survive too long. He condensed it into a book called the Krishna Books. Because he said that in case I have to leave the world, I want to tell you one more secret, he told us. He said that most people have got limited life. They say the number of breaths, how many breaths you have. And that is your life period span in this world. But for a pure devotee or a senior devotee, if he and other devotees pray, Krishna will give an extension. Means he goes one period further than his natural last date of death. And that happened in New York in 1969, when they thought that now Prabhupada will leave us. He was in hospital, he was in IC unit. And he was fed up in that IC unit. So Brahmanand Prabhu and several others rolled him out and took him away, actually kidnapped him from the IC unit. And the doctors and everybody there were screaming and shouting, how you are taking a patient away like this without permission and so on. But anyway, Prabhupada didn't want to stay there. So he went to a place in New Jersey, which is very famous near Atlantic City, for a place, it's like a resort, like Juhu, you know, where there's a beach and everything. And he stayed there for, I think, a month and recouped his health. Again, it has happened that Prabhupada had a very serious health problem. And again, he was given an extension, so twice. But the last time, that was on the 14th of November, 1977. that fateful time, 7:29 p.m., he told the devotees that I have utilized both my extensions and now no more I have to leave this world. That was the time, you know, on 30th September I had to drive Prabhupada to the railway station. So this was the point, that devotees can control their death. That is very important. There is another story of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in Allahabad. As you know, he was a businessman, like many of you, I'm sure, in this hall. And he used to run a pharmaceutical company, his own, Day's Pharmaceutical. His uncle's business was also the same, and he was a manager in Calcutta. Any of you remember a liquid called milk or magnesia? You know, to clear your stomach and all that. Sometimes you go to the pharmaceutical stores, they get Day's Medical Store or something like that. So he was the general manager of that, initially, Prabhupada. And that's where he learned pharmacy. So in Allahabad, there was a very, very rich man who was supporting our Rupa Sanatan temple in Allahabad. There is a temple there of Gaudiamath. This gentleman was an ICU unit again with a heart attack and he was about to die. So these people, Prabhupada and his godbrother, I think it was Sridhar Maharaj, they went with prasad and everything to this gentleman. Of course, in an IC unit, they don't draw prasad, but they took some charanamrit and some tulsi. And I think some chandan, I remember. So then, this man who was dying, he was a very, very rich man, he was holding the hand of the doctor who was in charge of the IC unit. And he said, "Doctor, I need at least 4 more days to complete all my work," means maybe his will or whatever he had to do. So the doctor said, "I cannot say how long you can stay." You see, because he was not a devotee, though he was accepting, helping devotees. So the first stage, neophyte stage, is you just come to the temple, you pray to Krishna, you may give some small donation here or there, but you're not a proper devotee unless you fully surrender to Krishna and his pure devotees. And now we will learn why amongst all the devotees in the world ever, why Yashoda Mai's name is top of the list. At the end of this lecture, I hope I can clear this point. This is a question that Parikshit Maharaj has asked Sukhdev Goswami. But Sukhdev Goswami was a little, shy. He was feeling that he's not such a great devotee. We are also a little shy. We are not such great devotees to compare somebody, you know, like Yashoda Mai and Devaki Mataji. They are all very, very top class devotees and we are right down somewhere at zero level. But it is our duty to explain what the acharyas have told us. And hence this detailed lecture. So, you all know that the divine appearance, I think many, many times that has been explained. Now we come to the divine activities of the Lord in the 10th canto. If you understand the first three, the acharyas explain. Which are the first three? Putna, I'll show you. Putna, then Saktasur, and Tranavarta. Now, Putna, as you all know, the acharyas have two opinions. One opinion is that she is Ratnavali. She is the daughter of our Bali Maharaj. When Vamandev comes, such a beautiful young man, such a lovely, lovely child, that automatically the milk of human kindness, mother feeling, came to her. And she said, "If I could have this sort of a child as my child whom I could feed my breast milk." That was her thinking. The same lady become Putna later. Just see how it happens. It can happen to her, it can happen to us also. Such, she meets God. The lady actually meets God. She sees in front of him. And yet she develops enmity towards God. So why is that? Do you know why? The acharyas say when you don't have association of devotees, you can meet God and yet you can become the enemy of God. Ravan, same problem. All you see, Hiranyakashipu, same problem. Hiranaksha, same problem. They actually, Hiranyakashipu saw Narasimha Bhagavan in front of him. Varaha Bhagavan, his own brother, Hiranaksha saw. But yet, because there was no association of devotees, that is the main issue. Here, fortunately, what Prabhupada has done is something fabulous, fantastic. He started with zero. No devotees with him in New York. There was nobody, absolutely none. And yet, he created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness throughout the world, where any city you go, anywhere you go, you will find some devotee or the other if you really have that desire. I had that experience. There is a big, big jungle in Australia. It is near Cairns. It's a city like Bombay. It's in a tropical area, jungle area. And there you go up a hill like our Mahabaleshwar or this sort of hill by rope railway. And there at the end of the railway, I told my wife that we have come here, but in this place, where are we going to have prasadam in the afternoon? You know, devotees love prasad. So without that, we can't survive. So I told her that just to eat this bread and butter and this cheese and what is it, tomatoes and cucumber. We get fed up, you know, eating sandwiches every day. So she says, well, I don't know. But anyway, then I just prayed. Believe me, I prayed to Jagannath Ji. Because in Jagannath Puri, there's sumptuous prasadam. Every few minutes, there are thalis and thalis of prasad coming out. And anytime you go, you can eat to your heart's delight. So I said, Jagannath Ji, you're feeding everywhere and you are Jagannath, so you must be here also. And believe me, actually this is truth. This is the gospel truth, absolute truth I'm telling you. I saw a signboard saying Jagannath Restaurant in the middle of a jungle. I told my wife, see, I told you, Jagannath Ji is so munificent. He is so magnanimous. And we followed the arrow. And there were two devotees, husband and wife. And they were running this Jagannath restaurant in the middle of a jungle. I asked them, how are you here? What are you doing here? They said, we are the exclusive vegetarian Krishna restaurant. So we had lots of people coming here. I said, wow, wonderful. And they say, we wanted to be away from this Australian cities because Australians, you know, are originally, Australia was a penal colony. Everybody knows this? Penal colony means when anybody was a thief or a murderer or something in England, they would ship them out to Australia. They had to colonize Australia. So they wanted English people there. But which type of English people? All these guys went there. This reminds me, recently one Parsi, very senior Parsi gentleman, whom I know, he's quite a wealthy fellow. He went to Australia to see the cricket match. So he told me that at the entrance, you know, where there's a visa section, an immigration section and all that, he had to show the passport, Indian passport he had. So he showed. People know Gujarati a little bit. You'll understand Parsi Gujarati? Te apre ta pochi gya. Ane iha gari apre batayu. Apra passport. Te pelo ke joach kare. He is looking at the passport all the time. Then this Parsi fellows, you know how they are. He says, see page 51, na? Ta maru visa che. See page 51, my visa is there. Why are you searching everywhere? So this fellow didn't say a word. And he was watching everything. And he didn't want to give this fellow entry into Australia for some reason. I don't know why. Sometimes it happens like that. So they was going through wasting a lot of time. So the Parsi fellow got a little upset. You know how Parsis get upset? So he got upset. He says, is there a problem, sir? He said, have you ever been a criminal? Have you ever been to jail? Oh, the Parsi fellow is a rich fellow, he's from a very noble family. have I been a criminal? And he said, I didn't know you have to be a criminal to enter into your country. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when we want to go back home to Godhead, we want to be the opposite. We want to be pure devotees. You see, they are the entry ticket, visa, for getting into that. Now to get into that position of entering into beyond the Viraja River, that is Vaikunth starts. You all know what is the meaning of Vaikunth? This world is known as Kunth. Kunth means fear. Vaikunth means where the place there is no fear. Correct, Gaur Gopal Prabhuji? You have just come back from a nice tour. So, a place where there is no fear is Vaikunth. So, these three divine activities, once you understand these three, because there are too many activities of Krishna, they are welcome. All of them are very good. But if you, what the Acharya says, if you understand these first three thoroughly, that itself is good enough for you to go home back to Godhead. Are you all prepared? It's worthwhile, right? Okay. So, the first one, as you know, is this poor lady. She's meeting first time God himself, Vamandev, and her consciousness changes to that of Putna. Remember this. Your body, your movements, your future, your traveling depends on your consciousness. Because there is only one property that the soul has, and the property of the soul is consciousness. So when you leave this body, when you die, you take only your consciousness with you. That is why Prabhupada has named this society So, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this is very important. So here is, she becomes Putna and Hare Krishna. And what the Acharya says is that Krishna, now this, listen to this very carefully. Krishna shows his anger to Putna. So I was surprised when I read this first time. Then he says that every one of us, sometime or the other in our life, have been angry. I mean, we may have been angry with our family members, with I'm a boss, or my employee, or even in a public transport, we sometimes get angry, somebody pushes us or something. So all of us have had the propensity to get angry. Everything that has happened or will happen has already happened to Krishna. It comes, emanates from him. Sarva karana karanam. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitanand Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. So he's a cause of everything, even cause of anger. But here is what Garga Muni says, disciple of Narad Muni. Krishna's anger purifies. Our anger impurifies. Everything in this world is a Urdha Mulamada Shakam, 15.1, Bhagavad Gita. The perverted reflection. So our anger impurifies us. We get angry, we get impurified. We throw our anger at somebody, that person also gets impurified. Just like dirt. Supposing you eat dirt, it'll come. I'm going to come about the dirt chapter. So, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. I think he got upset because I was talking about Putna. So, see, if it was Krishna, I would have been happy. So, the dirt, all these anarthas are like dirt. Okay? Anarthas are kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa. So, they impurify us and they impurify the person to whom we associate with this dirt. Just like mud you throw at somebody, your hand also gets dirty. Otherwise, how you got picked up that dirt? Isn't it? But Krishna's anger purified Putna. That is a very important issue. And Krishna's anger comes from his lips, same as us. We get angry in our mind, And the anger comes out through the words or something we say to somebody, isn't it? But Krishna's lips purified Putna. So in the face of Lord Krishna, 10th canto, face of Lord Krishna, it starts with his lotus lips. Okay? First chapter, first point. If you understand this, which one was that shloka, 4.9? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tattvata. So the important word is, we have to understand in essence, tattvata, his divine activity. So his first divine activity, first, very first, was to kill this putna. Surprisingly, in Ramayana also, yesterday night I was reading the Ramayana also. Ramayan, there are two meanings of Ramayana. First time I read it very carefully in Valmiki Ramayana. Ramayana is the temple of Ram. Ramayan, ayan, one of the meaning of ayana is temple. So this book, Ramayana, is the temple of Ramayana, Ram. And the second meaning of Ramayana is, of course, the story of Ram, the life story. So coming back, we are now talking like Ramayana, we are talking about the life of Krishna, his divine appearance and his divine activity. So first thing is, Krishna's powerful lips can kill. Our lips cannot kill. I don't think so, at least. And our anger cannot kill. It can only make the other person more angry. Isn't it? So, never, never use or misuse anger. The only example why I went to Ramayana, because I wanted to refer about my wonderful, he's almost like Ishtadev, that's Hanuman. He exhibited anger, divine anger. And he burnt Lanka. Now, there in the Valmiki Ramayana, it's explained that Hanumanji was very angry because Sita was abducted by Ravan, of course. He was very angry with what he saw in Ravan's horrible palace at night. He just happened to go there. What is it called? The English word for that. Where people, orgy, O-R-G-Y? Huh? I think that's the word. Where they have a lot of alcohol and they have a lot of drugs and there are dancing women, naked of course, and so on and so forth. That was going on when Hanuman reached Ravan's palace actually at night. So I was wondering where this reference of anger comes in various shastras. So this anger. Then the second point is that there was a great demon called Utkacha, who had been a demon in his previous life. He was, this Utkacha was Hiranaksha's son. And this Hiranaksha's son was a very naughty fellow. Very naughty means he was actually a demon son. And he had gone to the hermitage of Lomasha Muni. There was a great Muni called Lomasha. And there, this Lomasha Muni was very fond of having his wonderful orchard. You know, these trees. When I went to, I don't know if anybody has gone to Giriraj Maharaj's wonderful place. Have you been to Cupertino? There are about more than 500 avocado trees, one of my favorite fruits in California. Only beautiful trees. And right in the middle of this wonderful orchard, he has got his ashram there, Giriraj Maharaj. And Giriraj Maharaj and I stayed there. Mataji, you were there. Where is she gone? There you are. Your daughter got married there. Right? Ah, that's where we went. Myself and Mahaprabhuji, you remember? Where is Mahaprabhuji? There you are. We went there for the marriage. In fact, they were not getting visa, correct? And I had to substitute to you. Who's going to donate the girl? Their daughter. Their daughter is Giriraj Maharaj's disciple. And she married one of our god brothers. Both are doctors, right? Correct? Na? And last minute, I think you went to Madras somewhere and got the visa. Kaise bhi karke aapne, aap marwari hai? They know how to manage. I've seen I have lots of Marathi friends. How they manage, but they manage. They have got a special God-given gift. So they rejected, I think, 2-3 times. How many times, Mataji, you were rejected for visa in Bombay? How many times you were rejected? Ek hi baar reject ho gaye the. Acha, theek. So, koi baat nahi. So then we went there. Mahaprabhu and myself were supposed to do the Kanyadan. And then suddenly they came, right? And such a beautiful place, heavenly place, I tell you. It's not heavenly, it is super heavenly. It is. So this, similarly, this gentleman, Lomash Muni, he had these beautiful trees and everything. And this fellow knocked up all the trees for nothing, you see. And this Hiranyaksha's son, so he cursed him that you become a demon, the worst type of demon, and you'll not have a human, a body, material body. Means you'll have only a subtle body, bhut, bhut pretme. So this is the one who becomes the Saktasur. Okay. So of course, before that, you know how demons are. They catch the lotus feet of the devotee, that is Lomash Muni, ke meri galti ho gayi, I am sorry, I should not have knocked off all your trees. Please forgive me. He says, just as you have caught my lotus feet, only when Krishna's feet kicks you, you will be liberated. So that is why in the second divine activity of Lord Krishna, that cart, you remember? There is a cart. I was always wondering why this cart and how this Krishna kicking a cart has become so important. That is, a whole chapter is written on that subject. So the importance is, if you go deep into it, that there was a bhoot inside that cart. Okay. And this Saktasur was a demon, but he was a bhoot. Now the great acharyas have explained that the first three demons that Krishna kills are your need for the material body, need for your subtle body, and need for your air body. All. Because the third fellow whom Krishna killed was Tranavarta. He had only an air body. He did not have a physical body. He did not have that subtle type of body. He had an air body. And he was also a very interesting guy. He was called Saharaksha, a powerful king of Pandu Desh. And he was a follower, surprisingly, of Lord Hari. He was a devotee, and yet he became a Rakshas. That's what I'm trying to get at. If you don't associate with devotees, even the best of devotees can fall down. Sometimes my friend Mahaprabhu used to ask, how is it that such wonderful devotees, senior devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, or this or that, why is it they fall down? The answer is right here in Garga Samhita. Because they do not associate with devotees. Because the moment you associate with devotees, one very great thing happens. You become humble. This is very important. You cannot become humble unless you associate with devotees. Because when you associate with devotees, you automatically feel like serving the devotees. And service attitude comes, and therefore you are becoming humble. And unless you become humble, you cannot learn. You see, supposing you go to a classroom as a child, I have seen this, and the child says, oh, I know more than my teacher. It means he's not humble. He doesn't want to learn from the teacher. So unless you are humble, you cannot learn. Now, what happens? If you cannot learn, you are in Agnyan. And if you are in Agnyan, you are back again to square zero. So humbleness is a very important and a very good thing. Not from only point of view of trying to, you know, show off that I'm humble. Prabhuji, give me your chappals, I'll put them away. No, that is all right. That's good if you do that. But not as a show. But true humbleness is where you want to serve and learn by actually doing devotional service. So this gentleman, what happened? He met one Durvasa Muni. And you all know what happens if you meet Durvasa Muni. One of the two things happen. either you become like Kunti Mata, she served Durvasa Muni, and she got so much benevolence from him, 5 children you will get just by mantra. Or in this case, what happened was, this gentleman was playing around in a river with splendid flowers and everything in the river. He was fully naked, somewhat like that other two brothers, Nal Kuver and Manigreev, correct? And he did not bow and he did not wear his proper clothes and all that. So Durvasa Muni, like earlier was what, Narad Muni, isn't it? So again, here also the same thing. He cursed him. Immediately he fell at the lotus feet of Durvasa Muni. Incidentally, Durvasa Muni is whose child? Expansion? Shiva's, exactly. So Durvasa Muni instantly gets happy and instantly gets unhappy. It's somewhat like Lord Shiva's, it comes so, as father, so son. So here, the sage cursed him. Oh, evil-hearted one, become a demon. And the king fell at his feet and gave him blessings. This Durvasa Muni gave him blessings. He said, okay, only when Krishna's form touches you, you will become liberated. So if you notice right through the entire 10th canto, Krishna has to do something or the other to wipe out the sins of earlier devotees. It's not, Nal Kuver was not a devotee. They were actually Kuber's sons. And Kuber was not a non-devotee. He was actually a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So these three cantos, these three activities, divine activities, are the most important. Now comes the most important thing. Why this question asked by our friend Parikshit Maharaj. So, has anybody an idea why Nand Maharaj and Yashoda's position is better than that of, first of all, who is Nand Maharaj and Yashoda? Nand Maharaj and Yashoda are Nitya Siddhas. Please try to understand this. Difference. I don't think most people know the difference between Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. Sadhana Siddhas are those Jivatmas, like us only, very similar. They are expansions of Brahma Jyoti. Sadhana Siddhas are expansions of Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of the Lord. We are actually Brahman. We are expansions of the Brahma Jyoti. We can reach to the level of Sadhana Siddha. Okay, like Devaki ji and Vasudev. Yashoda Mai and Nand Maharaj are expansions of Krishna's direct Bhagwan body, not of Brahma Jyoti. That is what the Acharyas teach us. Did you know this, Prabhuji? Aapko malum tha? This is a very, very important thing I have tried to do some research on. Because this is a very valid question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. Are Krishna appears to Devaki and Devaki has no love, affection, nothing. No benefit of having a child of Krishna. Ye kya baat hai? Why did this happen? In short, isn't Krishna very unjust? Unjust? That somebody else, somewhere else in Gokuldam, they enjoy everything, the pastimes of Krishna. And the one who suffers all this, including earlier children were killed by Kans and so on. She didn't have that pleasure of having Krishna as a child. Why? So, here is the answer. As you sow, so shall you reap. This is in the Bible, of course. What was the desire of Devaki and Vasudev? What was their desire, you know? Their desire was a mixed desire. That is the problem. That is what the Acharyas have explained. I was surprised when I read this. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maharaj had no mixed desires. They had pure desire only to serve Krishna as their son. That's all. They had no other desire. It's somewhat like many of us, at least I can talk about myself. We have mixed desires. We are Jivatmas. My Siksha Guru, Giriraj Maharaj, used to explain to me that it's like the, once we're walking at Juhu, that sometimes the water comes onto the beach, Sometimes the water goes away from the beach, isn't it? And you are standing there, and sometimes your feet is in the sand, and sometimes your feet is run over by sea water. The jivatma is exactly like that. Sometimes we want to taste a little bit of Maya's, you know, Maya Devika maza, you see. And sometimes we want to come to the temple and have the pleasure of having association of devotees, listening to Bhagavatam and so on. So this is the problem with all jivatmas. And that was the problem with Devaki and Vasudeva, according to the Shastra and according to the Acharyas. Of course, we are nowhere to comment about such elevated devotees. I am only repeating the words. And I am trying to explain why the answer to this question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. Even Rohini and other mothers in Vrindavan, because their association with a Nitya Siddha, they got Krishna as the son of Balram in Rohini's case for 1 year. You remember when Brahmaji takes away all the cowherd boys and the calves, even the cows got the benefit of having Krishna as their child for 1 year. And they had that pleasure of having Krishna as 1 year. Devaki didn't even have for 1 minute. Forget about 1 year. Then, as explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are certain yoga practices and austerities which were carried out by Devaki and Vasudev. They thought that by the process of yoga activities and by austerities, we will get Krishna as our son, period. So Krishna says, all right, I'll be your son, period. Whatever you want, I will do. So actually, if they desired that Krishna, you be our son and associate, we want to associate with devotees and we want to have the pleasure of your association as a child for years together, Krishna would have done that. So we don't know what to ask. That is the problem. It's somewhat like a poor man going to a very, very rich man and saying, please give me 10 rupees. I mean, for a very rich man, 10 rupees is nothing when he's got 10 crore rupees or 100 crores or 1,000 crores or 10,000 crores. What is 10 rupees? But I've seen beggars on the street. They're asking for 5 rupees, 10 rupees. Instead, what I had done was I had prepared boxes some time ago. And in these boxes, I would put a black and a brown polish. Dabba, you know, that cherry blossom or whatever it's called. And I had kept cloth, I had kept brushes. And I said, Abhi, now start polishing shoes. And these beggars, I should tell them, you first start polishing my shoes. I'll teach you how to polish. You must learn how to do some work instead of begging for 5 rupees. In those days, I used to beg for 8 annas, 50 paisa. So this is the problem. We are short selling ourselves in business, we say. We don't know what price to ask. Supposing you got diamond, very big diamond. You know, one diamond, 1 carat is 200 grams. Okay, I think we've got a jeweler here. Am I correct, Prabhuji? So 200 grams is equal to 1 carat. Now, do you know that a pure white diamond is about 2 lakh to 3 lakh rupees a carat? Okay, and a dirty diamond is 5,000, 3,000 rupees a carat, which goes for industrial use. But if you had a pure diamond and you asked for 2,000, 5,000 rupees a carat, you're a fool. You're not a real good businessman. So first thing I'm telling you is, what the Acharya says, go for the rhino. Prabhupada used the word, go for the rhino. Don't go for these dogs and cats and rats as your pets. Or don't aim low. Aim high. Yeah, there are people who have rats as pets besides dogs and cats. And then what happens, you know, in America I've seen, they are serving these dogs. Prabhuji has a flat in New York City. If you take a dog and take him out on the road, do you know you have to carry with you a container and a brush? So if the dog does any, you know, the usual dog thing. So on the street, You are supposed to carry it and fill it up in that bag. You are not allowed to leave that dog shit, on the floor, on the road. Otherwise, you get fined very heavily. So you are actually doing that service. Instead of that, who was Loknath Swami's disciple? Narottam Das Thakur. Do that service, you know. Serve a pure devotee of the Lord. You'll go home back to Godhead. You'll become eternally famous and known as an acharya. So here I've got 6 items on which there is a big difference. So Yashodamai and Nand Maharaj could have the association of devotees in Vrindavan. Our 2 friends, Vasudev and Devaki, could have no association of anybody. They were in jail. And in jail, the only association you have is of the jail keepers. Horrible. The associates of Nand Maharaj and Yashoda became more purified by their association. So it is always better to associate with senior devotees. Another thing, this is which came as a total surprise to me, Brahma explains that Nand Maharaj, he uses the word, it'll come in Bhagavatam, Bhagawan. So I was shocked. Brahma is calling Nand Maharaj Bhagawan. And then he says, the father of Bhagawan is Bhagawan. That's the explanation Brahma gives. So he gives such a great title to Nand Maharaj. The other great difference is that Krishna and Balramji both were actually eating from the hands of Yashodamai. Yashodamai was constantly worried that if Krishna does not eat, he will become very thin, he will become sick. You see, Devaki never once worried about that. Then what my son must be doing? He must be getting sick in this village where he is. So, actually speaking, it's like, you know, this after-sales service. So, if you buy, say, a refrigerator or air conditioner, and if the person or party does not give you the after-sales service, you never go back again to them, isn't it? So, Yashodamai and Nand Maharaj were the best after-sales service people. They gave service constantly, unhesitatingly, non-stop. Just imagine, every day, your person who sold you a refrigerator phones you in the morning. Is my refrigerator working well? Do you need some gas in it? Do you need something? Please let me know. I mean, you'd be very happy, isn't it? At least the ladies would be. So, Yashodamai was like that. Every day she was giving service. Not only to Krishna, but to all others, gopas and gopis. You see? And that is why they were so much beloved. And that is why everyone loved them. So in summary, we'll just say that Parikshit Maharaj's question is very, very important. He is asking, how is it that Krishna gave more joy and pleasure and bliss? Actually, he gives bliss to Nand Maharaj and Yashodamai and nothing to Devaki and Vasudev. Why did that happen? Of course, subsequently, as you know, later on, after killing Kans, Krishna associated with Devaki and Vasudev. But then that is a different type of pleasure. All mothers know that when the child is very small, that's a different type of pleasure than when the child is, he's no longer a child, 15-year-old fellow. Teenage, sometimes they become like small demons, isn't it? So, at the age of 15. So, I mean, Krishna is not like that. I'm not saying he's a demon, but what he did was, he killed all the demon propensities of everyone. So, please try to read this 10th canto over and over again. There are some devotees in our ISKCON who read constantly this Krishna book and they know the whole thing by heart, because they know that if they once master this 10th canto, that is the ultimate aim of life. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or any comments anybody would like to make? So if there are none, then we will have some nice Krishna prasad. Yes? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.